good crowd. Thank you for being here. I appreciate the song selections. That last one especially is really fits in well with the things I'm going to be saying here in a moment. We're going to be talking about the church as the body of Christ. The text that I was given as kind of a jumping off point here is 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31, and I'm going to start off by go ahead and reading that. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that it lacked, that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Of course, he goes on to talk about the more excellent way being centered around love. At any rate, as I was preparing to give this little talk, I thought about different ways to go off and elaborate and get some more thoughts and ideas from this passage. Really, honestly, being a guy of not a whole lot of words, my first thought was, great job, Paul. Let's just read this and fabulous lesson. And there's a certain amount of truth to that, but that's not what we're going to do. I'm going to try and add a little bit to this. I'm mostly going to focus tonight on kind of four areas that I take out of this with regard to our life as a body of Christ. Synergy, which of course I see as the idea that the sum of the parts is more than just the sum of the parts. Interdependence. We all lean on one another. We need each other. We're not all just completely dependent on this person or that person, but we're dependent upon each other. Giftedness. We need to look at what our place is, what our gifts are, what our talents are that God has blessed us with, and how we can utilize those. And incarnational ministry. Since God sent Christ and he lived, died for us, and was raised up, he's physically left the earth. But we are present here as his body. We are Jesus to a certain degree in the flesh, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. So this is a picture that I took just out basically behind my house when we were working over on the other side, working in Ghana. And it's a sort of a classic picture of the yoke of oxen doing their thing. And this fellow's preparing the ground for farming season. So I'll start there talking about synergy. We've often heard the different stories. I think Dave Ramsey uses one a lot about how much more a team can pull than just adding up the sum of what each one can pull. And we know this to be true. But I'm going to go ahead and take that a little bit further and use some of Paul's thinking on this. You know, you look at, we as humans, we tend to get tunnel vision sometimes and just look at one part. You know, you look at a strong animal like this and you think about how they pull a little bit and you think, well, you know, those hip muscles, those hindquarters, that's where all the strength is. But, you know, you take those front legs off and it's not going to work very well. It just isn't. Don't want to get too medically oriented here, but, you know, without the respiratory system, the digestive system, the heart to pump the nutrition around, you're not going to get any work out of those animals. It takes, and, you know, digestive system, that's one of those dishonorable areas we don't talk about. But without it, you're not going to be able to convert whatever the ox has been eating into something that'll allow them to do all of that great work that we see from them. We, of course, as the body of Christ, have some loads to pull as well. We have work to do. We benefit from one another. We lean on one another. When one of the team may not have as good a footing, that's when the other one comes in and can make up the difference and things work out well together. Now I'm going to, excuse me. I can't move away from the microphone with this head mic. Sorry about that. Something I should have asked Rob about, I guess. But anyway. So Romans 12, 4 and 8. We're going to take a look at that now. 4 through 8. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. And, oops. Back me up one there, Kelby. I got ahead of myself here. There we go. Okay, we're good there. So, we definitely need one another. This first section that I've highlighted there, and individually members of one another. That takes a little while to soak in. We're not just individual people out there completely in the body of Christ. We are members one of another. Clearly, having gifts that differ, we need to put those gifts into use. We need to find the gifts that we have and put them into use to bring glory to Christ in the body that we're a part of. That's another place where the interdependence can come in. If you're not sure what your gifts are, if you're not sure where your strengths are, I bet there's another Christian close to you that's going to help you figure out what those are. Sometimes it's easier to see strengths of others than it is of yourself. And you can talk to one another and find those places that will help you find your place in the tasks at hand. Okay, now I'm going to go back to Ecclesiastes and look at a little section here that we typically is used a lot for marriages, and that's perfectly suitable, wedding ceremonies and whatnot. But the particulars in the case are not particularly talking about marriage, but I think certainly it's applicable to that, but in a much broader way as well. Starting with the verse 7, reading to 12. Again, I saw vanity under the sun, one person who has no other, either son or brother, yet there's no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, for whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure? This also is vanity and an unhappy business. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone, when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. God didn't intend for us to go through this just on our lonesome. He wants us to be supporting one another, helping one another. Woe to him who's alone. Those are pretty strong words. I was at a family gathering recently, and a little bit of a discussion about a somewhat more distant relative came up, who, and really this is something that we're seeing a lot in people today, that there's kind of been a backlash, I guess you could call it, against institutional worship, against being a part of a church and a congregation. But this person, in any way, made the statement that they really felt like they could worship better and be closer to God on the boat, out on the boat. And certainly there's some truth to that at times. There are times we all need, you know, some Sabbath time, some time away, some time to connect. And a lot of those times, those can be very spiritual times connecting with God. But, I mean, even Christ took some time to slip away from the crowds and to have those quiet times of reflection and thought. But that's not the way God intended for us to continuously live our lives. Certainly, relationships and connections with other people sometimes get messy, but sometimes through those struggles, through those occasional tensions, we grow to be stronger and better prepared for the other things that we're going to face in life. Okay, I'll move on to Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which is equipped, each part is working properly. I've got a bubble on the slides. Makes the whole grow so that it builds, the body grows so that it builds itself up in love. We are actually, it says here, to be growing into Christ. There's that incarnational membership. We are becoming more and more Christ. We are to be Christ to those around us. We're his hands and feet in the world today. You often hear that phrase used, but truly, we are here to do the work that Jesus would do. None of this is too revolutionary, but I think it's valuable for us to look at that and look at how we can actually be Christ to the people that we interact with in our life, from in our daily walks. One of the things growing up that was always rather striking to me, my father was, he worked in the oil field, was born in West Texas and lived in just about every corner of the state and a little bit of time in Georgia. But no matter where we went, whether it was on one of those rare vacation times or one of the moves, we always seemed to make connections when we went to church. A lot of times there were people that they'd known from churches past. Sometimes we didn't actually have a recollection of anybody, but there's still that connection. It's an amazing thing to me how we are connected as a body to people maybe that we'd known years ago, maybe that we've never met. Similar experience when we started doing some mission work on our own. Our first medical mission trip that my family and I went on in Manaus, Brazil, it was just amazing when we walked in. We didn't know, you know, any of these people, but we worshiped together. We were brothers and sisters. we felt really like that was a slice of what it's going to be like when we're worshiping around the throne in heaven one of these days. Because there's all these people, all these brothers, all these dear, connected, interdependent people that you'd never had an occasion to know before, but still you knew them. So kind of putting all that together, I think that we need to recognize that we are Christ's body here. We are here to represent, not just represent, but to do the things that Christ would be doing with the people that we interact with. We're here for each other. We need to connect with one another. We need to look at for ways that we can make those connections, that we can help one another feel more a part of the body. We've got the area-wide that was announced this morning that next week we're not having evening services. Well, they're having Christians from all over this area meeting together over at Brentwood. That'd be a great way to enhance our sense of body. We're here for each other. We've got many different skills, many different parts, many different capabilities. Obviously, public speaking isn't mine. I think I've got something a little bit worthwhile to share here, but I would never consider public speaking my gift, as I'm sure most of you would agree. But we've all got gifts. We've all got places that we can plug in, that we can be involved. We can, go a Saturday morning and pick up a load of groceries for the pantry. We can come out and spread mulch. We can do so many more things, so many opportunities here to do little things and big things to share Christ with the people in this community and far beyond. I just believe there's incredible things in store for the church, this body here in Leander and the greater body in the world. And I look forward to the opportunity for us to grow more and more into ourselves being Christ's body, being Christ to those that we come in contact with. Like I said, I'm not much of a speaker. That's just about the extent of what I had to share with you tonight. If there's anybody here that has prayer needs, that need to lean on the body to talk about issues, certainly is at this time we'd love to hear those. If there's anybody who hasn't become a part of the body, hasn't become clothed in Christ to be a part of that body, we'd certainly love to help you with that.